Good evening, brethren.
Good evening.
The only way I'm up here to speak today is because of the boldness that God has given me through Christ. He has given each one of us the grace to speak His name and not to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Our assurance, as Brother Tim said, is not in our flesh, it is not in our strength, but it's in Him and Him only. The theme of this year's preaching festival is Full Assurance of Faith. And my topic comes from Hebrews chapter 4. In verse 15 it says, "We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with a feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore go boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need."
Amen.
We're able to come, and I'm going to go through this. I'm getting excited again. We are able to come to the throne because God has given us the grace to go to that throne. And He has the grace that when we go to the throne, He's able to strengthen us even the more. So we can confidently and boldly go to the throne of God because of what Christ has accomplished. Our faith in this, our belief in this is fundamental. We have to be confident. We have to have faith in knowing that Christ has accomplished all things for us to be raised up. Our faith is fundamental so that we can enter into the throne room of God to be in His presence, so that we can approach unto Him. Remember, all of the statutes and all the ordinances that the high priest, that God gave Moses for the high priests to enter into the holiest of holies. If they did not do those things specifically, they died. They had to have confidence in the things that God commanded that they were able to enter in. They got to dress just right. They got to do this and do that and do all these things. And they did them. Exactly. Why? Because they believed what God had said. Our high priest is at the right hand of God. And we have faith in knowing that He is interceding for us, allowing us, enabling us to go to the presence, to the throne room of God, and not be smitten, not be killed. Think about it. We are able to go into the throne room of the One who has created all things.
Amen.
We are able to be in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We have to have faith in knowing that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And when we go to the throne room of God, we are diligently seeking Christ. We are diligently seeking God. And in return, He's going to reward us. God is a God of perfection. He is the perfect. He is of the perfect light, and no darkness is within Him. We, on the other hand, are all of a fallen race. We are of a fallen nature. And we cannot have light within ourselves. We cannot approach the throne of grace with any merit of our own. Nor are we in ourselves perfect enough to approach the light that God dwells in.
Amen.
We cannot do this. So, in order for this passage that I just read to be true, that we are able to boldly approach the throne of God, then God has got to intervene. And in order for Him to intervene, our faith must be such that, so that we can be confident that He has enabled us to approach Him. When someone enables you to approach them, you are a lot more bold to be able to approach them. When you know the goodness of that person, it emboldens you to go up and ask, to seek, and to knock.
Amen. Yes.
And we know that we have a good master. We know of a surety we have a good God. This passage declares boldness. This boldness is not of a cocky attitude, though, is it? This is not of a cocky attitude or anything that we have brought to the table. What we've brought to the table is death, wickedness, iniquity, sin. This boldness is in all of what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. If you miss the point of Christ, you miss the part of the boldness. If you miss Christ, you've missed everything.
Amen.
Let us focus our attention. Let us look now on Queen Esther. Esther had a burden for her people. We all know the story. Esther had a burden. The king, he's going to kill off all the Jews, including Esther. So she had this boldness. She had this. She had to intercede for her people, didn't she? So she approached the throne to make a request to the king. She had to approach to request. Now, she was not boldened in herself. She was scared because she knew what would happen to somebody who approached the throne without being called by the king. There was no invitation in the mail for her. But because she was intervening for her people, and I'm going to read this here in a minute, she was able to approach. And we're going to look at some other things too. In Esther 5:1 it says, "Now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel."
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a big point. I like this. She put on her queenly garments, didn't she? We have put on Christ. We have on our royal apparel when we enter into the throne of God. And she stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. She had obtained favor of the king. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. There's a lot in these two passages. In this passage, we can see that the queen had put on her queenly attire, and that no one was to approach the throne unless the golden scepter was raised. Our boldness comes from the fact that we too have on the proper attire.
Amen.
And that the king has raised his scepter for us to approach his throne. We have put on Christ. And as we have put on Christ, then we have found favor with our king. We have found favor with our God. We have put on Christ as our attire, and the scepter that has been raised is Christ. Christ said himself that if I be raised up, what will happen? Will draw all men to me.
Amen.
God raised up his scepter on the cross.
Amen.
On the cross. And we have to go. And just as Esther went and touched the top of that scepter, we too have to go, and we too have to partake of Christ. As we will see throughout this message, our acceptance in God has all to do who we are in Christ Jesus. It all has to do with our attire, our strength, our boldness, that we have been with Him, and that He has first loved us. The king, I'm assuming, when he found favor in Queen Esther, he saw the beauty in her. We are beautiful because of Christ. And Christ is beautiful in our eyes. I'm going to get to that in a little bit. We also see in this verse that Esther was invited to approach the throne, that her intentions were not so much of her own, but of her people. She was interceding. Christ has interceded in our stead, enabling us to go to the throne. Esther was able to approach the throne because her faith was such to know that she was accepted of the king because of her attire and because the scepter was risen to her and invited her to come to the throne. We too must have the same faith in knowing that we have donned on Christ. We have put on Christ so that we are not found naked and ashamed. We have put on Christ and God has raised and we're able to go to that throne. In another passage in Matthew chapter 22, we see this story of this king who's having this wedding banquet. And he invites all these people and we know the first part of the story. Some of the people, they had other things to do. Leave them go. Go to the lessers and bring them in. As they came in, I'll just read a little bit. Matthew 22:11. And when the king came to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. He was not properly attired. Now, some of the historians, some of the commentators I read, they all say that they suspect it was a custom back in this time that the king give out the wedding garments. Okay? I don't know how true that is, but that's what I've read. But the people that he invited were of the lesser sort. They probably couldn't afford wedding garments. So, this king supplied the garments. So this man is caught without the garment. Here again, we have a banquet in which the king had bidden many to come. Through all the guests that there were, the king eyed only one. The one that did not have on the wedding garment. And when the king approached him, the man was speechless. He had nothing to say. We know that the king ordered the man to be bound hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Why? He didn't have on the proper attire. He was invited. He came. Isn't that good enough? I got my pass. Isn't that good enough that I came? No, he was not properly attired.
That's right.
How many people are not properly attired now? The strange apparel was the only infraction that this man had, and it cost him his entrance into the wedding banquet.
Yes.
In fact, it cost him more than that because he was bound hand and feet, and he was cast out. In Zephaniah 1:7, it says, Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice and hath bid his guests. And it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with strange apparel. Your dress is everything in the kingdom of God. Your attire is everything.
Amen.
Strange apparel is not accepted in the kingdom. Again, Esther was accepted because of her queenly attire. The bride's attire and the love of her bridegroom makes her acceptable in his eyes. It truly does. It sets her apart. It sets the bride apart from all the other guests. And she is accepted by the bridegroom because of the love. We are bold to enter in because we are clothed upon with Christ. And there's a phrase in the song, "The sands of time are sinking," which states, "The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face." When we enter into the throne room of God with boldness, our whole focus is on our bridegroom. There is nothing else matters, but we know that our attire is accepted because he has bidden us to come.
Amen.
We cannot get properly dressed at the wedding banquet. We can't get ready at the banquet. We got to be prepared for it, don't we? This is the time of preparation. This is the time of preparation for when our bridegroom comes that we are clothed upon. Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you has been baptized into Christ," what happened? "Have put on Christ."
Amen.
The proper attire, not strange apparel.
Amen.
This is familiarity with God. God knows His Son. His Son knows God Himself. And if we have on Christ, if we have put on Christ, then God knows us.
Amen.
Remember them group of people that Jesus says, "I knew you not"? "Oh, but didn't we do this and that and this and that in your name?" "Depart from me. I knew you not." They did not have on the proper attire. In the days of Adam and Eve, their nakedness brought shame. Their nakedness brought shame and apprehension to be in the presence of God Himself. Their own works to cover themselves was not enough. God had to provide a covering for them, and He has provided a covering for us in Christ.
Amen. Amen.
We are now invited to come to Mount Zion. We can come to the mountain of the heavenly God. No more are we naked and ashamed. No more are we weighed down and burdened by sin. No more do we fear to enter in as unto Mount Sinai.
Right.
They couldn't enter. They couldn't even touch the border. They couldn't even touch the mountain because of their sin. We are not of that camp, brethren. We are not of that camp. Because Jesus has made us accepted.
Amen.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All heavenly kingdom things I can do through Christ who strengthens me. And this even includes coming boldly to the throne of God. Our boldness comes from His power and His might. In Hebrews 10:19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in to the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near." Let us draw. This is a corporate thing. Let us draw near. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith.
Amen.
Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised.
Amen.
He said, "Come." We're able to remember when Jesus was walking on the water. Peter says, "If it's you, Jesus, bid me to come." "Come on." How was Peter able to walk on the water? He was bidden. He was come. He was invited.
Amen.
But when his focus went off of Christ, he started sinking. Jesus has opened the way. Jesus has opened a way through His flesh and through His blood. Hebrews 6:19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into the within the veil. Whither the forerunner for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest over in the order, after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus has prepared the way. When Christ died, that veil was rent.
Amen.
The veil was rent. His flesh was pierced. His blood flowed. He enabled us through His death, by Him going to the heavenly realm and purging it with His own blood. He has opened up the way for us to boldly go. He has sprinkled our hearts in full assurance of faith. If you have full assurance and faith, then you are very bold. You are very confident. Sprinkled from an evil conscience, and we have been washed with pure water. When Jacob was wrestling with that man, Jacob's boldness led him not to release the man until he received a blessing. Guess what happened? He received the blessing.
Amen.
Our boldness, our faith, takes us to this point of laying hold of the promises of God and saying, I am not going to release until you give me the blessing.
Amen.
Remember it said earlier that He is faithful that promised. So we lay hold of those promises. We lay hold of those things. We embrace the things that God has promised us and gave us. I will not release you until we receive the blessing. That's boldness right there. Our faith takes us to the point of laying hold. Our high priest is at the right hand of God interceding for us. What more help do we need? Ephesians 2:18 tells us, for through Him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father.
Amen.
Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We are no more aliens. We are no more strangers, but we are fellow citizens. And we're even closer. I'll get to that here in a minute. We're even closer than that. We have been adopted. We are now sons and daughters.
Amen.
Being with Jesus gives us boldness. How much are we with Jesus? Our boldness is going to reflect that, isn't it? When those around saw the boldness of Peter and John, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. There's something different about these guys. They're ignorant and unlearned men. But they were bold. Why? They've been with Jesus. When God spoke to Moses from the burning bush, God told Moses that He would be with him, and this gave Moses boldness to go to Pharaoh and demand that Pharaoh let God's people go. Think about the situation in this. This is Pharaoh, the mightiest kingdom in the earth at that point. In the earth realm, Pharaoh was it. Moses was going up to his let my people go, demanding that. He couldn't do that at first. He didn't think he had that strength at first, but God was with him. And that gave him the boldness. And we have many more examples throughout the scriptures of men and women being bold because they have been with Christ. Our proximity to Christ is everything. If we draw nigh to God, He has told us that He's going to draw nigh to us. Ephesians 3:11, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. God purposed this from the foundation. This is an everlasting and eternal purpose. We have been adopted and accepted in the Beloved. We are able to go boldly to the throne of grace because we are now sons and daughters. And our God is a good God, and He has only the best for His children. We have seen that Christ is oh so beautiful. And we want to, we desire to, we are emboldened to go and enter in. God will not give us a serpent when we ask for a fish. God has told us to ask, to seek, and to knock. He has invited us to approach Him. He will not turn away His children in whom He loves. Remember, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. The woman with the issue of blood knew that the only way that she'd be made whole is if she touched Jesus. And it wasn't even touching His body. She knew, if I just touched the hem of His garment. Talk about the boldness of this woman. But what did she receive? She was healed. She was healed. When we are emboldened to go, because we know that this world's way. Remember, she tried everything she could, and she was the worst. She tried this world's ways. When we try this world's ways and realize this world has nothing for us, then we know the only source of healing, the only source that we have is by God and God Himself. Then we are emboldened to go and touch. Our faith brings us to that point. Our healing, our acceptance, and all that we are in God is provided by God Himself. There is truly healing and acceptance under His wings.
Yes, amen.
As I've stated before, God has bidden and called us to Him. Call all ye. Come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Come ye to the waters. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Come now, let us reason together. I counsel thee to buy me of gold, tried in the fire. And there are many, many more. God is not inviting us in to smash us. He's inviting us in to enable us. God even posed this question through the prophets. Why will you die, O Israel? God has provided a way for all men to receive life from Him. They just have to approach the throne of grace and ask. They have to approach the throne of grace and receive. And in closing, let us remember that we are clothed with everything that God has provided. We have been clothed with everything, and that God has provided the attire. And if we are caught without it, then we will not be accepted. He has provided all the necessary means for acceptance to go boldly to the throne of God, and they are all in Jesus Christ. On that glorious day of Christ's arrival, appearing, all men will stand before the throne of God. Right now, we're able to go to that throne, okay? But in that day, all men are going to be brought to that throne. All men from all of history are going to stand in front of this throne. And they that are in Jesus, all men will stand before the throne. All will be opened and manifest in that day to Jesus Christ and God. And the only way that anyone will be accepted is if they are clothed upon. All others will be found naked and cast out.
That's right.
And let me leave us with one last verse that sums up this whole thing. It's in 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And we know that God has first loved us. And because of this, we love God. And because this perfect love is in God and this perfect love has been given to us, then there is nothing for us to fear.
Amen.
Is there any questions or comments or corrections?
Amen.
Brother Mike, I was encouraged by your saying that our confidence is associated with our how close we are to Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I've said it exactly like that. The closer we are, the more confident, the more assured that we are. I remember when in the Gospels it said Jesus chose the 12 to be with him.
Mm-hmm.
The proximity is so much more than just doing what you're told or following a creed. Or belonging, or having a membership, or whatever, it's being with Him. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hid in Him.
Yes.
And so, us being with Him means that everything that He is accessible, is within reach.
Mm-hmm. Remember, that made me think of when Jesus spoke of His parables. Who was it that came in and asked, "What meanest thou of this?" It was most of the time His disciples. They pressed in. They pressed in because they've been with Jesus. And what are you talking about? What does that mean? And He'd explain it to them. And we see that after Pentecost, we see the boldness that they had. We saw the boldness of Paul after he met Christ on Damascus, on that road to Damascus. He never again went back. Because why? Because he had been with Jesus. We can learn. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Thank you. So our faith comes by hearing. Our faith comes by our proximity to Christ. And the more we read, the more faith. Our faith is increased.
Amen. Brother Mike, I appreciate this, of making it clear about our putting on Christ.
Amen.
Because you mentioned Adam and Eve sewed fig leaves, and this wasn't adequate to cover their nakedness. And God so gave them skins, clothes of skins, to cover their nakedness. And this is what mankind needs, is a covering mm-hmm. for our nakedness.
Amen.
And only Christ Jesus can cover us.
Right. Amen.
Because He was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him.
Mm-hmm.
He took our sin and He gave us His righteousness. Mm-hmm. We're clothed with the righteousness of God because of Christ.
Amen.
And because of this, we know we're accepted by God because God has accepted Christ.
Amen.
In the book of Revelation, it talks about the white linens. They are the righteousness of the saints.
Amen.
And we know that our righteousness is not of ourselves, but it's of Christ. So we have on these white linens. We have on these white garments because of what Christ has done. They were dipped in the blood of the Lamb. Now we know if something's dipped in blood, it doesn't come out white. But in the kingdom economy, it does. Whatever touches the blood is cleansed. Yes, Sister Mary.
I like how you pointed out that Esther's royal apparel.
Amen.
Our royal apparel.
Yeah. Talks about royal two or three different times in them two passages. Royal is this high and lofty state. And she put on her royal attire.
Acceptable.
Yes.
Yeah, in that same text it talks about the seven princes of Persia and Media, and it speaks of them as the highest ranking in the kingdom that were in the presence of a king. And that just reminds me that he's made us to be kings and priests unto God. And there's this element of being made righteous, being made holy, being made a saint, being made royalty to be able to be accepted in His presence.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
she was also offered up to
half the kingdom.
Yeah.
Yep. Go, Dan.
You're talking near the end about the one of the main words is come. You went to the different places and talked about all the way from the Old Covenant, come now, let us reason together, and so forth. And I was reminded of the last prophet, at least in our chronology of the Old Covenant. It was sort of a shaky ground. He talked about the coming day of the Lord of Judgment. He talked about turning the hearts of the fathers to the children in this. Lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. But that doesn't give you a lot of confidence. But here now at the end of Revelation, after all these things that you've spoken of, the Spirit and the Bride say, come.
Yes.
Let him that is the thirst say, come. Or that is, let him that heareth say, come. And whosoever will, let him come. See, this is like the word of the new covenant. Now, this is how Jesus ministering this to us.
Mm-hmm.
I just appreciate the contrast to see that.
Amen.
It's open. Salvation is open to all that will take it right now.
Amen.
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 Let
us come.
Mm-hmm.
I also like you're pointing out of us and let us come boldly in the corporate nature of that. I just never thought about that before. I always think about it in terms of myself drawing near, but the let us come near, like we're all saying, it's available to whosoever will.
To the
what is afforded to us by the work of Christ.
Yeah. To the general assembly.
To the house of the Lord.
Yeah.
Yep, to the general assembly. That's us all. Go, Dan.
There's also the matter of the familiarity engendering this boldness. Like even in the example of Esther, if she hadn't been the queen, she did tremble and so forth, but if it was just somebody off the street, you know what I mean? It's not the same way. Look at the familiarity that Abraham was able to bargain, as it were, with the messenger concerning how many righteous were left in Sodom. Or like Moses, when he interceded for the people many times. Why was that? Because they knew God. See, it's like that with us, too. The more that we know God, this strengthens us. And again, this is not of our flesh. This is of something that's being provided because he's a revelator of himself. So this one works on the other, and the other enables a person to become more bold, and as you're more bold, then you're able to become more familiar, and it's working together for us.
When Moses first met God in that bush, he trembled, he feared. But you see that as Moses got more familiar with God, that he was able to speak to God face to, as a friend speaks to another face to face. So yes, you are right. It's this familiarity with God and Christ that also enables us to be bold.
Amen.
Brother Al?
Brother Pat brought up about us coming together. The scripture says, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And I think often that striving together carries an idea of like combative, you know, of defending the faith, and that would be involved. But more along these lines of striving together to come, striving together for the faith. You know, it's like advancing, like Israel taking Canaan. That was certainly a work of all the people, taking the land. And so coming is coming to the Lord, drawing near, believing is work. Mm-hmm. But Jesus said, "This is the work of God to believe." And that's involved in coming. Believing is like another way of saying coming to God.
Mm-hmm.
Striving together for the faith of the gospel is like, you know, giving the hand to other and striving together. You know, drawing near and pulling together, it doubles strength. It multiplies strength as we come together. That's what's happening as we have these assemblies. As we share insights and share the fruit that we've gathered, we're striving together. We're coming together.
Yes. Brother Al, did you have something?
Well, as you alluded to in the Song of Solomon, the Lord is altogether lovely, so it's very desirable to have this covering upon us. It's not laborious, but it is something that is desirable. And this... The man that had not a wedding garment on, you know, there. I think You know, Jesus didn't give an explanation. You know, he didn't give interpretations of those particular parables, but it seems like the implication is that the responsibility, you know, he could have said, well, why don't you go get that man a wedding garment, you see, but that was more involved than that. So it was a matter of him, he was responsible for putting it on himself.
Yes, yes.
So it wasn't, whether, you know, whether all these other things that the commentators...
Yes, I understand that.
You know, see, the Lord was, I think that was one of the responsibility was on each one of the ones to put on the garment themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Faith knows how to do that. The new creature knows how to put on the wedding garment.
If they were given wedding garments...
What's that?
If they were given wedding garments, then that man did not deem that garment was good enough for himself. He despised that garment. Yeah, so we see...
If everyone else had been given a wedding garment,
right,
and he hadn't been, then God would be a respecter of persons, right?
Right.
See, so the implication, I mean, so those are some of the implications in the parable that, you know, you draw implications that those kind of parables, you know, are intended to provoke nearness to God.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the answer... Most of those parables is in proximity to the Lord. You know, that's where everything is clarified. Things are obscure at a distance.
We put on the garments that God gives us because they are beautiful, because He has given them to us, and through the Holy Spirit, we're able to put them on and strengthen with them.
I don't think myself that Jesus was making reference to the cultural manners of the time. Even if that was the case at that time, Jesus didn't speak with reference to that. That's not the reference for truth. The reference for truth is the kingdom, of course, and the divine nature. And so when you read in the parables and others like that, we want to let the truth explain and expound what the parable was. And He hath given us all things pertaining to life and godliness.
Right.
And so if there is someone in the banquet without being clothed with Christ, it is because they've rejected what God provided.
Exactly. Exactly.
Otherwise, this parable doesn't make any sense, that He would go to the highways and byways, compel them to come in. They come in and He says He's not satisfied with His clothing, and He binds them hands and foot. And weeping and gnashing of teeth, see, it's much more than just the natural view of it.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be.
It's the heart of the matter.
Acceptable righteousness before God.
Yes.
So in that line, we're told, put on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. Amen.
Make no provision for the flesh, fulfill the lust thereof.
Another thing about this passage, He didn't say, come boldly to the throne of grace when you're doing well. He said it's in your time of need.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In your time of need, come boldly.
Amen.
It may mean the time when you're being tempted before you sin. Mm-hmm. This is a time of need. You need to go boldly to the throne of grace. But He also said to obtain mercy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There are times when you need to obtain mercy. You've sinned.
Mm-hmm.
And He still says, come boldly.
Amen.
Come boldly to the throne of grace. Our natural reaction is to hide, try and hide from God.
Mm-hmm.
Try and cover it. But He says, come boldly to the throne of grace.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Amen.
Yeah, this dispels the idea of like self-confidence like you were talking about earlier. That you can actually... in being in need of mercy and grace and have boldness at the same time. You come boldly in view of need of mercy and grace.
Yeah.
That builds self-confidence, and not like that at all.
Right. Trust in His promises.
That's right.
And His faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
You're confident in the one that's going to provide all you need.
Praise God.
Well, I thank you all for your comments, and I'm not sure who's up next.
You want to pray for Brother TJ?
Yep.